Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I love this. So a Florida representative introduces a bill that would make it impossible to punish someone for the unauthorized killing of a bear. But he says that, no, it's just the crack bears that we're talking about, not all bears. What? I'm not kidding you. He says, just the ones that are on crack. We're talking about the ones that are on crack. They break your door down. They're standing in your living room growling, tearing your house apart. You should be able to shoot that bear. I'm not kidding you. It was House Bill 87. I'm pulling it up right now. This is an actual thing. Taking of bears.
Is there a crack?
Jason Schoaf. Yeah.
Subheading?
He goes, we love bears. Bears are cute and cuddly. No, it's only some bears that have to die. The crack ones. That's literally what it was. So the Guardian wrote a whole piece on how they were unable to find a documented incident of any of Florida's estimated population of 4,050 black bears having ingested crack. And he's like, well, you know, I use the phrase on crack, like if they're acting like if they're on crack, not like if they're literally ingesting crack. There's probably a better way to put it, but okay. I mean,
aggressive,
dangerous, you know, something like that. A Florida man wields a machete, vows to eat his body in a chilling threat to landscaper. A Coral Springs man is, now we have this, there's some new developments in it. Because at first it was just a guy who brandished a machete. No, now it's, he got into a fight with a landscaping worker. And according to Coral Springs police, this guy not only brandished an actual machete, but he also said he was going to chop up said lawn care worker and eat him. The victim, a local landscaping company owner, the guy's name, who is the aggressor, Samuel Diorio, 63. The landscaper and his crew were working at a nearby residence. Diorio approached, photographed the truck. The guy asked why. It escalated. And Diorio says, I will cut you to pieces. I will cut you up today. I will eat your bodies. That's pretty serious. Wow. That guy's a crack bear. So the guy ended up being, he was transported to Broward County Main Jail. He was arrested by Coral Springs Police Department. Man, Coral Springs, can you imagine? Like that whole area, first you got the crack bears, and now you got this guy who acts like a crack bear over some. Okay. Let's see here. I got a couple of really good ones. Let's do, a Florida woman was accused of hitting a man and a child on bikes with a broomstick. Jeez. Florida woman has landed herself behind bars. Annette Krupnicka, 59, was arrested and charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon with blah, 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 blah. So Leesburg neighborhood, apparently she was in the middle of the road and literally was hitting kids with broomsticks, with a broomstick on a bike. And apparently someone's doorbell camera recorded her doing it. So as a kid rode past her, she'd hit him with a broomstick. So she was taken to Lake County Jail. She's still there, $5,000 bond. Because you can't, you know, you can't hit people on bikes with broomsticks. This is not something that you can't do. It's not, oh, man, that's not the craziest story I have today. So Cape Coral, back to Cape Coral. They're busy. They got crack bears. They got the guy threatening to eat his landscaper. And then now they're looking for a cookie monster, like literally like an actual, like cookie monster pajama clad people who have been stealing from Lowe's. A male and a female who went in, if you go, okay, I get very Karl Lagerfeld about pajamas in public. Like, I just feel like you've given up on life if you're wearing pajamas in public. Like, you've just, you like, you're a step away from suiciding yourself. A male and female in matching Cookie Monster pajamas tried to rob a Lowe's store when stopped by loss prevention. The guy revealed a gun in the waistband of his Cookie Monster jammies, and they were able to get away. So the Cape Coral police are looking for them. So if you see two losers who wear pajamas and don't carry properly, it's probably these two schmucks. It's probably them. Jiminy Christmas. Crack bears. Maybe he's talking about those. Maybe Shope was talking about these people as the crack bears. I don't know.
So she utilized both male and female names, but through all of our investigation to this point, talking with individuals, interviews, documents, Houston Police Department reports, she has been identified this entire time as female, she, her, and so we are identifying her as Genesee Moreno, Hispanic female.
So see, we talked about this yesterday. First off, welcome back to the program. You're super mean, former, not totally retired goth kid here, Dana Lash. We talked about this yesterday, and this is why so much of the trans rhetoric is such garbage, because everybody's sitting here trying to figure out, is this perp, a dude, or a chick? Because it was so confusing. Because someone was saying that the medical examiner said it was a chick, but that she called herself Jeffrey and was taking like tee shots and stuff. Why? See, this is why I need a camera on your face. Kane will not do it. You got to help me convince him. Why? Okay, join the show. What's up? Why are you over there making Kane face?
Because everything. So his name was Jeffrey when he was in El Salvador. He comes here and becomes a non-Hispanic white woman. And then everyone's just going to be like, you know, she. I no.
But was it? That's what's so confusing about it. Was it a dude or a chick? Like, he came out screaming as a dude.
That's how I understood it yesterday. Now, granted, because I don't care, I didn't look any further. But this was how I dug into it yesterday. Spent enough time on it yesterday to know that this was a guy that then became a woman here.
They said that during the initial press conference, police didn't say that Moreno was transgender. They said that Moreno used male and female names and she had been identified, blah, blah, blah. He was transgender. So he was, but he was a guy identifying as a chick. That's what I hate about this.
This is why there was so much time in the investigation dedicated to just this.
This is so stupid. It's so dumb. I mean, can you imagine if there was a bolo out? Oh my gosh, the public is in danger of being shot and killed by this crazy, you know, illegal immigrant that has a violent record and tons of weapons charges. I don't even know how they illegally obtained, how he, she, it, Frankenweiner, whatever, how they were able to even obtain a firearm in the first place. Nobody knows. So can you imagine the general public being like, well, what do we look out for? Well, it could be a white woman, but it's a guy from El Salvador. You know what I mean? Like, well, I mean, you guys could be murdered by a white woman, but it's actually a guy from El Salvador, so good luck with that. You know, bolo. And then the general public is like, the hell? What are we looking out for? Who's, you know, I'm like looking at, I mean, everybody's a suspect at that point. Well, I mean, it could be a white woman, but it could also be an El Salvadorian man. I mean, we don't know. It's very important that we indulge the feelings and political sensitivities of the criminal. It's very important. I mean that, guys, is it better to be dead or polite in terms of political correctness? I mean, that's really the choice that we have here. You know, we don't want to risk it with the political sensitivities of the criminal. Yes, you and your kids could all die, but we don't want to risk it for any other biscuit. But political correctness, that's the way we're going to roll. This guy who came out, this press conference that Juan played on the simulcast, he looked like John Candy in National Lampoon's Family Vacation, coming out and telling you the park's closed. Moose out front should have told you. He looked like that guy. Doesn't he? The moose, oh, this, sorry, but the discussion about their vagina or wiener is closed. Moose out front should have told you. That's what he said. That's him right now. Yes, we are making fun of this absurdity in the most absurd way possible because they actually spent time on this. And then with his hand gestures, what is this? Like, are you feeding ducks? Like, what is with the hand gestures at the same time? Like, I'm dying right now. This is the problem. I looked on social media. There were people, because I had posted about it, and there were people in my mentions that were so mad about this. And they kept going, it was a man, it was a woman, it was a man, it was a... Meanwhile, everybody's getting murked. Everybody's... I mean, think about it. Again, just go back to that well of hypothetical. You know, if they had said, be on the lookout for either a white woman or a El Salvadorian man. Over. Breaker one night. Yeah, can you run that by me again? Over. Yeah, 10-4 there, Smokey. We got El Salvadorian man or we got a white woman from Kansas. We don't know. One of the two. Burp. Duck and cover. Burp, over.
I
mean, and can you imagine? Now think about it.
Tuck and cover?
Yes. Okay. Or whatever. But think about it. Imagine the ATF shows up, like just in this grand scheme of craziness. And the ATF shows up and they're confused because, you know, this person had like tons of weapons charges, right? Previously. Think about it. What are they going to do? I mean, what are they going to shoot? Who are they going to shoot? They don't know.
Yep, ATF here on scene. Directions over. Yeah, ATF, could be a white woman, could be an El Salvadorian man. We don't know. Over. So, you're telling us to shoot all the dogs. That's what you're telling us. Shoot all the dogs and maybe shoot some kids. That's what you're saying. Over. ATF here. Over.
Damn, ATF.
I mean, sometimes they have enough of a problem identifying the right things and, you know, I mean, I'm just saying. This, do you see how crazy this could get? You got everybody showing up, and they don't know what the hell to do. Everyone's a suspect. Everybody's a suspect. You are in Texas. Could be an El Salvadorian man or a white woman. Well, hell, that's everybody. Everybody's a suspect. Get down. You're all guilty. All because we had to tickle the jimmies of the political sensitivities of trans rhetoric. Do you see how dumb this is now? And then we got this one guy. Well, she identified as, well, whatever it was, identified as was, because they're dead. They got popped. That's how it is. I can't believe that law enforcement spent all that time. They had to stop and address it. And they still don't. I just think that when you are going out to kill people, you don't get the courtesy of having people play make-believe with you about your genitals. You know? Don't you forfeit that?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, I wouldn't even say excuse me if I bumped into you. So what the hell makes you think that I'm going to sit here and play pretend with you about your genitals? I don't get it. You are not owed that courtesy if you're going out. Actually, you're not owed it at all. And you're especially not owed it if you're going to go out and start killing people and targeting people at a church with a Palestine sticker slapped on your rifle. Literally put a sticker that said Free Palestine on the rifle. And the media's like, gosh, we just don't even know what the motive is. I don't even know. This is crazy. Just this guy from El Salvador, this white woman, whichever, just had this rifle and they put a sticker that said Palestine on. I just don't even know what the motive is.
Journalism.
Yay, journalisming. It's like Ralph from The Simpsons. And I helped. This is the reality of this whole situation. Oh, my gosh. And now you see how crazy it is. It's crazy, right? This is ridiculous. No pun intended. As we get moving, because, you know, we're capitalists and nice people bring you free radio. People like the ones at Caltech, the Sub 2K Gen 3 is out. And if you haven't checked it out, you ought to, because it's a great firearm. Caltech is a very innovative company. And with Caltech, you're getting quality, family-owned, family-ran, made in America. So the Gen 3, if you're unfamiliar with it, it's the 9mm carbine. And I have the Gen 2. Now I need the Gen 3 because I, you know, I love the fact that it's like, and I've said this a million times, but it's true. Gun origami. You can fold the whole thing straight up in half. Now with my Gen 2, I got to take my optics off in that. But with the Gen 3, you don't. Everything stays on. You can, it's just a very simple twist and fold motion. They have this patent pending rotating forearm. You can twist it in either direction and it just, and it quickly and easily deploys as well. Optics and all, fold it right in half. That's amazing. And that right there, I mean, there's more than just that, but I like that because I'm lazy and I don't want to take everything off my, off my rails. But, they have the upgraded aluminum trigger, the redesigned mechanics. You got a lightened 5-pound trigger pull, more precise feedback. You get clean isolated pulls, improved accuracy, improved follow up, upgraded action, new chamber indicator, all kinds of awesome stuff. All made in America, family owned Kel-Tec. To learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3, this is a 9mm carbine, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Southern California was shaken by 13 earthquakes over 25 minutes. They said several of them, which the largest registered a magnitude of 5.0, struck El Centro in the Imperial Valley. They said that this was according to the United States Geological Survey shake alert. They have a whole count that they post. They post on X. They said that the rattling went all the way up until 1 a.m. when the 13th quake of the series that began less than a half hour earlier was recorded. So they said that that was 2 days after 4.6 hit northwest of Malibu. That's one thing I don't earthquakes and tornadoes. I don't like and tidal waves. Oh, I don't know, tsunamis. I don't like those either. Let's see. Stunned children returned from a New Hampshire, turned to New Hampshire from school trip to France, and they found two illegal immigrants in the luggage compartment of their bus. This was in Britain. A whole bus, after they returned from a school trip to France, they all got back on the bus, and they found two 20-year-old dudes lying inside under the bus where they have the luggage. And they just had... Yeah, they after the door was open, one tried to run off. Parents stopped
refugees,
him.
Just refugees.
Just you lads then, is it? Yeah. And they said that it's quite concerning because you had 36 kids on the bus and no one knew that they were there. That was a little concerning. Yeah, you think so? That is concerning. Let's see. We had the this is one of the worst stories I've ever read. This has to do with Kansas City, Missouri. A mother who apparently has some mental developmental difficulties said she confused her the oven for the crib, and she put her barely not I think it was an 8-month-old baby in the oven and baked her to death. This is a horrible story. Mariah Thomas of Kansas City was charged with endangering the welfare of a child. She put her down for a nap in an oven. The child did not live because she burned alive. I mean, it was just horrific. Apparently, her clothes were melted to her diaper. It was just awful. She says she put the child on for a nap and accidentally placed her in the oven instead of the crib. And apparently, I think it because she apparently does have some serious developmental difficulties mentally, but apparently she also is just an evil piece of trash, I think, too. I think it's both of these issues because when I was reading a different article, she apparently had a limited intelligence level and all of this stuff and was struggling to care for the child just by herself to do basic things, and she had to have some help. But goodness, that's just one of the most horrific things I think I've ever read. Oh my gosh. Let's see, a couple of other things on this. Only 86% of Americans think Biden is too old for another term. Only 86%. I love how the surveys do this. It's an ABC Ipsos News poll. And they said, yes, only 86%. That's
almost all of us.
Yeah, that's almost everybody. Yeah, that's like way over. That's way over the whole, yeah. And we all know Lloyd Austin went back to the hospital, right? Everybody knows he went back. He's got his deputy who's now in charge. And apparently Biden still hasn't spoken with him. I wrote a piece, if you haven't seen it. I put it up on my Substack, Chapter and Verse. And it gets into, and I saw that, who was it? I think it was Mark Wahlberg had said something about the woke Jesus ads that they had. Because Mark Wahlberg's stuff was actually really good. He had a Christian meditation app where he focuses on prayer and all this stuff. And his stuff, I think, is actually good and useful. But he had a video where he was encouraging everybody to pray and all this stuff. He focuses on, you know, like the real meaning, whereas everybody else focuses on identity. And I wrote about this because I keep learning more about this group that's behind that. They did the whole He Gets Us ad stuff. And that's what I wrote about. And you can see it over at Substack. It's called The Problem with Buddy Jesus Blasphemy. The group that's behind the He Gets Us campaign is called Come Near, and they make idols of political identity. And that's exactly what it is. Because I went and I looked back at all the images they used in the ad that they bought, this multi-million dollar Super Bowl ad that they purchased. And I thought it was AI images, and it looks like AI images, but actually it's actually weirdly staged photographs that they decided to, you know, filter and all this airbrush and all this other stuff. But what this ad does from the onset, And I'm going to get into the background of the people who are the strategists and help come up with the concepts for their ads. But what this ad does is it takes these avatars, a very predictable political and ideological divisions. And you have like a presumably pregnant woman who's having her feet washed outside of a Planned Parenthood. You got a police officer washing a black guy's feet, a popular high school girl washing the feet of an alternative girl. You know, the cowboy washing the American Indian's feet. You got the roughneck who's washing the climate protesters' feet. You know, I mean, you get the blonde suburban wife washing the feet of an illegal immigrant woman. I mean, that's what you get. And while they're attempting to lecture everybody on societal division, the He Gets Us people, I mean, when you look at these ads, they're playing in the misogyny and bigotry that they're claiming to reject themselves with the way that they're setting the images for the ads. I mean, they reduced everyone who is concerned about illegal immigration. They reduced them all down to a blonde suburban, presumably housewife. They made her look like Leave It to Beaver's mom on her knees in the middle of her cul-de-sac, washing the feet of this one woman who presumably came here with a whole busload of illegal immigrants, and she's standing there defiantly. All of the people on their knees doing the washing of the feet are all the people that you would place on the right, whereas all the people who are having their feet washed are all the people that you would place on the left. There is not an instance where these roles are reversed, where you have a trans activist washing the feet of like an actual woman, or an illegal immigrant or cartel member washing the feet of a besieged border rancher. And the fact that none of these were ever reversed, ever, kind of, that's what suggests that the whole He Gets Us people, they didn't view the feet washing act as how it was meant in the Bible. They viewed it as a symbol of rectification, right? For those who are pro-legal immigration or pro-life or whatever, like they were the ones who did something wrong and they have to rectify it because of who they are. That's what the ad plays into. And it also suggests that Jesus came to serve rather than teach his disciples humility in service. And because of this, the ad makes political identity an idol. That's exactly what it does. We are divided by these identities, the ads is telling you. And these different identities won't be nice to one another, when in reality, we're divided because we live in a godless society. And you can't have true peace without the savior of mankind. And the only identity is as children of the kingdom. They dress all this up in social justice regalia. And then they fell victim to what they claimed they wanted to avoid, right? They've previously portrayed Jesus and his disciples as bike gangs. And they've portrayed Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as illegal immigrants. By the way, Egypt was part of the Roman Empire. So it would be like me moving from Missouri to Texas. That's exactly what it was like. But I don't even, what is, he gets us? Jesus never affirmed sin. He rebuked it. Anyway, the people behind this, they're anti-Israel. They've protected their tweets from public view, and they've donated a lot to the left.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.